We're back with the takeaway. Now, traditionally, the day after Thanksgiving represents the official start of the holiday shopping season. And while retailers of all sorts have started Black Friday days or even weeks earlier, we are revisiting one of our favorite recent stories about a perennial favorite gift. If you have been a girl or parented a girl during the past 30 years, there's a good chance you know about aspiring reporter Kit Kittredge, pioneer Kirsten Larson, or freedom seeker Addie Walker. Yep, we're talking about American Girl. The American Girl Doll Company was founded in 1986 to, in the words of the founder Pleasant Roland, inspire girls to make their own positive mark on the world by telling great stories with aspirational characters. American Girl recently added a new character with a great story. Claudia Wells is a 9-year-old growing up in 1920s Harlem. The doll's rich storyline is told by Britt Bennett, author of The Vanishing Half and The Mothers. When I spoke with her this fall, Britt told me about how she, as a New York Times best-selling writer, ended up writing an American Girl story. Turns out, she manifested it with some well-placed tweets.
Yeah, I mean, it was really exciting for me, too. I grew up reading these books when I was a kid and acted in a play at the library, like American Girl play at the library. So I was very deeply into American Girl world when I was young. And one day I was just kind of tweeting and tweeted that I would love to write an American Girl book myself. And for some reason, American Girl found the tweet and reached out to me. So sometimes Twitter can be good.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it, right? You tweeted, just going to passively aggressively tweet my way to this American Girl doll. Just watch me. It took 6 years, but I'm so for this. So tell us, introducing Claudia, tell us about her.
Yeah, so it was really fun to write this book. I'd never written a book for young readers before, so that was really exciting. And I wanted to write a book that was set during the Harlem Renaissance. I wanted to write about a child who lives in this boarding house filled with artists, but is very anxious and worried that she has no artistic talent herself. And so I really wanted to write a book that was set during that time period and also interested in thinking about this world of Black art.
She's an interesting addition. She's the fourth Black American Girl doll. And sort of in the initial series, there was Addie, who was coming out of a period of enslavement. We had Melody, who's kind of a civil rights activist moment. And for all of the really positive aspects of those histories and those stories, there were also parents, consumers, girls, now adults, who felt that it was limiting, that like the Black dolls were always struggle dolls, and wanted to talk about the ways and to think about the ways that a Black girl story could also be about, as you point out, art, creation. How do you balance that in Claudia's story between struggle and joy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a tricky thing when you're writing into history in particular, but even if you're writing about Black life now, I wanted to be honest about the history. I didn't want to sugarcoat it. I didn't want to ignore the fact that this character is existing during sort of the peak of lynching in America. She's existing having to learn about the way that Black soldiers were treated after World War I. She's immersed in these really difficult truths about history and Black history in particular. But at the same time, these are books that are for children. I wanted to emphasize joy. I wanted to emphasize play. I wanted to think about this character trying to navigate the history of the moment, but also just navigating her own desire to be really special and her desire to create something really special. So I think it's tricky when you are writing about history at all, and in particular when you're writing for young readers, that you want to be honest about the history, but at the same time, you want to respect the idea that this is, you know, it's a toy. It's something that you want to be fun and entertaining and something that gives the readers joy.
I'm thinking of sociologists, historians in the field of girlhood studies who are asking us to think about how the American story looks different, sounds different, is different if we tell it beginning with girls, right? So if we tell the Great Migration through a girl, if we tell, you know, World War II, right, through girls, what do you see revealed about the Harlem Renaissance that maybe you didn't even know until you wrote it through a young girl's eyes?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big things that I learned, and that a lot of this was through a credit to the historians that we had on board who were able to provide a lot of context that I didn't have, was the idea that the Harlem Renaissance was a moment that was particularly focused on Black childhood, that you had things like the Brownies Book, and you had these efforts from Black adults to particularly prioritize the role of Black childhood, both in a sense of political idea that Black children are sort of the future and that you need to invest in them in that way, but also just this emphasis on the importance of that. And, you know, like you spoke about Addie, and it's just when I read those books when I was a kid, I was so struck by so many of the ways in which she didn't really get to be a child at first. You know, she was growing up on this plantation, and the book opens with her learning that her brother and her father are going to be sold away from the family. So she has this experience where the sort of innocence and protection of childhood are stripped away from her. So to think about the Harlem Renaissance as a moment where that was really emphasized by Black adults who were in greater positions where they were able to afford children that protection and innocence. I think that was something I certainly had not thought about when I was usually focused on the Harlem Renaissance as a reader of someone who was interested in the books and the art created in that time.
Who does Claudie come in contact with who might be sort of iconic in the context of the Harlem Renaissance? Who does she listen to, read, see, hear?
Yeah, I mean, that was something that was fun for me too, because I wanted to create these original characters that she encounters in this boarding house, these musicians and artists and painters who really both kind of tell her about their journeys to Harlem and how they came to participate in this great migration, but also shape her understanding of art itself. And at the same time, I also wanted to sort of trickle in actual figures. So there's a brief mention of Langston Hughes. Claudia is reading the Brownies book. There are references to some of these real texts and real figures. So I think part of the joy of fiction is that you can play with the real history of it and also invent. So I wanted to kind of balance that and to allow Claudia to experience some of these fictional characters, but also experience real people who would have been living in her neighborhood at the time.
Let me ask, were you at all involved on the doll side? I know you're, clearly part of creating and writing the book, and the books exist both with and separate from the dolls. And one of the things we talked about a lot in the course I was teaching is this question of merchandising, right? And so the stories are giving us often these kind of girl power stories, but merchandising was sometimes not giving us girl power, was giving us more, baby doll version. And I'm wondering if you were at all involved in the merchandising side.
Not a whole lot. I kind of saw as they were creating the different products based on the story, which was very strange for me as a writer because you don't think about it in that way. But it was cool to kind of see both sides of it come together from these things that I was creating that were now becoming, you know, her dad works in a bakery, so there's a bakery that you can get that comes with the doll. Like to see those things come together was kind of surprising, but it was also interesting, I think, because to see all of the things that you have to balance with this, where you are striving for historical accuracy, but you're also selling a toy and you want the toy to be something that people will want to play with. And sometimes those desires are at odds, and sometimes those desires are at odds with the story, and you have to kind of navigate all of it in a way that I'd never considered before with just someone who's writing a novel like in a room by myself.
I also love that as part of this, you can donate $1 to the Harlem School of the Arts. When you go to order your Claudie doll, you can also make a donation to the school.
Yeah, that was something that was really important for me as I was deciding to do this project because I knew that so many of my friends, when I would talk about American Girl dolls, sometimes they had a doll, sometimes they really wanted a doll and couldn't afford a doll. And I was concerned about increasing access to this doll in the way that we can in this book, but also in supporting the next generation of Harlem artists. It felt like a nice full circle way to connect the book and to connect the project to the community where the book is actually set.
Britt Bennett, author of the number one New York Times bestselling book, The Vanishing Half, and creator of the new American Girl doll story, Claudie. Thank you so much, Britt.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.